Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of compelling legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be, nor should it be construed as legal advice. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. Please enjoy the program.
Hello, and welcome to This is Labor in California, a podcast from Ogletree Deacons, where we bring you a monthly overview of traditional labor issues in California, along with how employers may be handling those issues. I'm Maria Anastas, based in our Los Angeles office, and today I'm joined by my colleagues Daniel Adlong in Orange County and Sean Kramer in San Francisco. In a previous podcast, we spent some time sharing with you recent statistics on the increase in protected concerted activities in California during the pandemic, whether they took the form of strikes or protests or other types of demonstrations. This year, we anticipate additional union activity or an increase in union activity and various forms of protected concerted activities. And because of that, we thought it'd be important for employers who have operations in California to understand one sort of unique wrinkle in California when it comes to the rights of labor organizations to engage in activities on an employer's private property. So under California's Moscone Act, it's actually not unlawful for individuals to engage in peaceful activity relating to a labor dispute in the exterior areas of an employer's private property. And while it's not per se unlawful for a California employer to maintain a non-discriminatory policy prohibiting third parties from engaging in such conduct on private property, an employer in California must satisfy a very high burden of proof before a state court here will issue an injunction to enforce that type of policy against third parties who engage in labor speech, whether it takes the form of picketing, distributing handbills, and other speech activities. So I know from my practice, this Moscone Act has been kind of a shock to a lot of employers. At least from my experience, most employers don't know that unions do have those types of access rights. But again, there has to be a bona fide labor dispute going on between the union, for example, and the employer for the union to claim those rights.
Thanks, Maria. This is Sean. I agree, or I've had a similar experience in advising clients on this issue. I often find that a lot of clients just will immediately go to the local or municipal trespass law and say, you know, these picketers that are outside of my store, my retail establishment, are violating trespass law. And, you know, that sort of then leads to a longer discussion about the Moscone Act, and that, you know, in the context of a labor dispute, you know, individuals involved in the labor dispute can trespass on private property in certain circumstances. I did want to briefly discuss the seminal case from the California Supreme Court on this issue back in 2012, Ralph's Grocery Store versus United Food and Commercial Workers, Local 8. In that case, and I'll just touch on it briefly, the owner of a supermarket, which was located in a development with other stores and restaurants, sought an injunction in state court to prevent a labor union from picketing on the privately owned walkway in front of the only customer entrance to its store. Ultimately, the case wound up in front of the California Supreme Court, and the California Supreme Court handed unions a significant victory on this issue. It upheld two statutes, the Moscone Act, Maria, which you discussed earlier, and a related section of the Labor Code, Section 1138.1. And together, these restrict the availability of injunctions against picketing by labor unions on private property. Now, the practical implications of the High Court's decision, practical implication really, is that it confirmed that picketing and related union activities during a labor dispute cannot be enjoined, cannot be stopped, except in the case of certain unlawful conduct, which is rare. So this restraint, again, though, does not apply if there's a type of mass picketing or violence, but generally state courts following Ralph's after 2012 have relied on it to prevent injunctions against basic union trespassing. Now, the second statute that the court upheld related to the Moscone Act, section 1130.1 of the Labor Code, this limits the authority of the state courts to actually issue the injunction. And it establishes several difficult requirements that employers must overcome to actually obtain that injunction, including that there be a hearing held to determine, among other things, whether there's a substantial and irreparable injury to the employer's property if the conduct is not enjoined, and that police officers are unable or unwilling to furnish adequate support. So it's really hard for employers to meet this, which is why, you know, for all practical purposes, it's very difficult for an employer to prevent or eject quote unquote trespassers or you know, stop picketing activity during the course of a labor dispute.
This is Daniel here. And it's interesting to see that even when these courts grant injunctions, sometimes you see the ridiculous level it takes to get there. To give a perfect example, there's a in February 1, 2019, Marin General Hospital had a dispute with the local union there. And just to give a quick idea about Marin General Hospital, it's an acute care hospital with an ICU, ER, a cardiac unit, a surgical unit. And it's the only hospital in that county that has a birthing center and a neonatal center. They have a dispute with the union representing their employees. The union starts picketing early in the morning, well into the evening. They're creating traffic jams at the major intersection in front of the hospital. They're essentially causing a block to enter the emergency room so ambulances can't get in. And to make matters worse on all this, they erected a metal gong that people would walk by and smash. And it's so loud that people could hear it a mile away. And there were high-level hospital officials that had soundproof offices for whatever reason, and they could clearly hear this gong. And you had patients complaining that they couldn't sleep, patients being able to recover properly because of this metal gong. The hospital goes and they seek an injunction, and ultimately the court finds the noise causes discomfort to patients. It impacts their patient care, that the union inappropriately interfered with the primary entrance to the emergency room, and that the union had violated multiple criminal statutes. So the court issues this injunction, says, hey, this needs to stop. The union appeals, and the appeal court says, hey, the court got it right to grant the temporary restraining order or the injunction, but it needs to clarify, and it lists all sorts of things it needs to clarify: how the noise needs to be restricted, what parameters they can use to block different entrances and exits. And it just goes to show that even when you would appear to get a victory, this hospital was still dealing with some difficult stuff. And by the time it works its way through the court, at that point, it's taking far too long to get any sort of redress. And it just brings up the significant leverage and impact the Moscone Act gives to unions and the necessity to figure out a way to address potential picketing and other issues if they could become a concern to a business.
I think it's important just to remind everyone that, you know, the mere fact that there's a union on your property, you know, doesn't mean that they necessarily have the right to be there. So we don't want to lose sight of the fact that there has to be a bona fide labor dispute. Now, unfortunately, there's a very broad, I think, definition and interpretation the courts have applied to determine whether or not there is a labor dispute. It's really any controversy concerning terms or conditions of employment. So, but I've advised clients, you know, in a garden variety, you know, union organizing campaign, if there are union business agents or organizers in the parking lot, that they have the right to tell them to leave. You know, if they're dropping flyers off on top of the cars, or trying to meet with employees when they get off in between shifts. Because at that point, I don't really consider that to be a labor dispute. But it really depends. It's obviously going to be a very fact-intensive inquiry. It depends on precisely what's going on in that campaign. I think in some circumstances it could be. And probably in the years to come, there's going to be even more liberal interpretation in California as to whether or not a labor dispute is actually happening. I don't know what your experience has been, during campaigns. Have you seen unions try to access private property in your cases, or have they been, out on the sidewalk?
This is Daniel. I've had both experience where they're trying to access property and out on the sidewalk. And sometimes it's not that problematic if the business can sustain or put up with the attempts to intervene, just because some businesses fortunately have the ability to speak with clients or customers in such a way that it doesn't cause an issue. But I had another one where, much like the metal gong, a union was creating so much noise that it disturbed a local school that was working at the first floor of a commercial office building that was very, very problematic. And that was something, fortunately, we began to find a resolution that we didn't need to seek court relief. But ultimately, it can be very difficult to address when they have so many rights under the Moscone Act, and you need to find a way to get quick relief without seeking, court help or court intervention.
This is Sean. Just one point I want to make, putting my legal thinking cap on, is I really do feel that context matters. So the Ralph's decision that I discussed a little bit earlier, it upheld the Moscone Act by relying on several older California court decisions permitting labor union picketing on private property of retail stores, right? So the Ralph's decision, you may be familiar with the grocery store company, is it's a retail store, a supermarket. And the main rationale underlying those older decisions was this idea that retail stores had diluted their property rights by inviting the general public to patronize their stores. Now, this sort of same rationale, might not apply, or employers could make this argument, right, in the context of seeking an injunction where the employer is not operating a retail establishment that's been open to the public, right? Think manufacturing company, or perhaps hospitals, the example that Daniel just gave, that are inviting only certain members of the public onto their premises for a limited purpose. I did just want to touch briefly on another example where an employer was successful in obtaining an injunction in state court in California. I think it's similar to the example that Daniel gave, the case, the Marin County Hospital case. It shows sort of these outer bounds that, really, really has to be some sort of egregious or unusual type conduct that's going on in the course of a, labor dispute for a court to enjoin labor picketing type activity. So this case involved a large retailer in Los Angeles seeking to enjoin various activities conducted, again, by the United Food and Commercial Workers and a subsidiary in connection with long-running efforts to organize the retailer's employees. So in this case, ultimately, an injunction was granted. And what was enjoined was precluded. The union was precluded from going into the retailer's stores and starting flash mobs. The employer and successfully argued that actually there's a concurring opinion in Ralph's that said any sort of picketing activity by labor unions inside an employer's premises could be enjoined. So if you have labor unions going inside to your store, you have a stronger argument, perhaps, that the activity could be enjoined.
Yeah. The problem with that, as you know, is by the time you get the injunction, the union's gone. So those types of demonstrations inside the lobby of a hotel or in a retail environment have occurred. And I would anticipate we're going to see more of that type of activity. But again, by the time the employer contacts their attorneys and the papers get filed, it's over, right?
Exactly. This, you just reminded me of experience I had, Maria. I was a board agent, and I don't remember what I was doing, but I was in office building in Los Angeles. It's actually the current location where Ogletree has its offices. And I'm walking out and the whole floor is occupied with demonstrators who were with either the UFCW or SEIU, I can't remember from back then, but they're just there causing a problem. And by the time you get court relief at that point, there's nothing you can do. It's over. And they've caused the damage that they want. So it just becomes very problematic.
I agree. I think a couple of takeaways, if I'm an employer and I'm working for an employer and I'm in management and having to respond to this, are worth mentioning. And this is Sean, by the way. So retail employers, you know, you should continue to be vigilant and consistent in protecting their property from intrusions of any sort of protesters, picketers, or handbillers, whether they're affiliated by a union or not. You know, context really matters. It's also critical, and Maria touched on this a little bit earlier, that retail employers protect their property with carefully drafted non-discriminatory rules, right, that govern public access. And you want to make sure that those rules are not being enforced in a discriminatory fashion or uniformly enforced. So you're not singling out union type activity and not sort of doing the same thing for other types of activity. And I think just the final point in my, you know, on my list is if you're an employer and you lease property, right, you're going to want to ensure that in advance of any controversy over access by picketers or handbillers, that the landlord is ready and able to limit the access to the full degree that the law allows.
Okay. Well, that concludes our podcast for today. Daniel and Sean, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.